Gondi
and Ash Pollard.
101.3 CFM.
Morning, crew.
How art thou this morn?
Well.
Are you?
Well, oh. I might be lying.
Why?
I'm not getting much sleep.
Same.
I've got something living in my roof. I've recorded some audio. This was going from when I went to sleep last night, around about 9 o'clock, until 4 o'clock this morning.
No, are we thinking a bit of a possum vibe?
I think something might be living in there, and I might need to get rid. See if you can hear this audio. I've recorded this on my phone, so this is what I'm dealing with.
Oh, my God, stop.
It sounds like someone's trying to saw into my house.
Oh, my God, it's creepy.
That goes all night, non-stop. So whatever it is living up
you
there...
You need to get in the roof.
Whatever it is living up there, go to sleep.
You're not the type of person that will get in the roof either, are you?
No way.
So what, are you going to send Jamie up there with a torch?
Yeah, straight away.
Yep.
I say, babe, here's a torch and...
That's scary. That's like a scene out of The Haunting or something, isn't it?
Yeah, creeps me out. So I'm hoping it is just a pest control problem. And I don't know what else it could be. A spirit? Do I get Ghostbusters around there? What do
Imagine
I do?
Imagine if it's just some bloke, like, just trying to make his own bed up there.
Well, he just picked my little roof in the...
Yep.
Little hole in the roof to get up in there. No, thanks. So not much sleep for me, but we push on, don't we?
We do push
don't
on.
We push
it's,
on.
It's tremendous Tuesday today.
Sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah, if you want to give the day a name.
We've got Hamish and Andy on the show.
Yeah, just after 7 o'clock this morning. Their show True Story is on back on tonight on Channel 9. The Block, if you're watching that. We have the Sydney contestants on the show today as well.
And we're going to be talking to a runaway Amish girl who ran away from her Amish community a few years ago.
Yep.
This will be very interesting.
That's just after 6:30 this morning, how she escaped and what she's doing with her life these days. Mm. Alpha Bucks is next, 13, 12, 16. If you'd like to have a crack at $1,000.
Harvey Norman, quiet at home in every room of the house. CFM. Alpha Bucks. Come on, come on,
come on. Let me show you what it's all about. Yes, we have one lucky caller this morning. Jen.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
The show...
The show's
turned into a musical. Ash just sings every now and then. Do you like musical movies?
Oh, I love musicals.
You love musicals?
Yes.
Oh, can't think of anything worse.
No.
Are you a musical fan, Jen?
Not like a big fan, just like...
Did you like the Greatest Showman with old mate?
Loved it.
Loved it.
Right. Jen, your letter this morning is O for orange.
Oh, that's a hard one. Okay.
What have I started? All right, O is your letter this morning. Good luck. 30 seconds. Don't use the same answer twice. Get them all right. $1,000. It's Alpha Bucks.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, yep. Jen. Question number one. Name a movie title.
Pass.
A male's name.
Oscar.
A fruit.
Orange.
Something you find in the ocean.
Octopus.
An awards ceremony.
The Oscars.
A pizza topping.
I'll pass.
A type of biscuit.
Oreo.
A shape.
Oblong.
An animal.
Pass.
A gemstone.
Opal.
Give it to her.
Yep, we'll give you that one. We just scraped in on that one there. Played a good game. I really like that game. Nice and relaxed.
Lovely and relaxed. You only passed on three.
You passed on three, which guarantees you, from what we can see from the answers you've given, $70. So that's yours.
Oh, awesome.
Woohoo.
$70 free money. Just to name a couple that you might have missed. So a movie title you passed on. Oceans, 11, 12 or 13, we would have accepted. A pizza topping, olives, oregano. Oh.
I was thinking oregano, but that couldn't come out.
That's all right. And an animal, an owl or an octopus.
Mm. Oh, yep.
$70. Alpha Bucks, it's
Thank
all yours.
You.
Thanks for calling
awesome.
The show.
Toodles. Thanks. Hey, I reckon we need to...
You don't want
to Hey, P.S., I'm thinking we need to crack down. You know how when the buzzer goes off and we still let the person creep in with the last thing?
Yeah.
No.
Well, you see, for $1,000, yes. For an extra $10.
No, because then that's not fair. You can't just go, oh, well, not for $1,000 and okay for $10.
You want to crack down on
that from
here? Oh, you play, you're a hard...
A game is a game, and you need to stick to the rules.
What do you think of this,
and
producer G?
The breaks.
What do you think? An extra $10 from Alpha from Harvey Norman, or do you reckon we crack down?
No, because that extra $10 could be the $1,000.
And then, like, you know, $10 over time every day, it adds up.
It does add up. God.
Ash has got you brainwashed.
Now, think about Harvey Norman. I mean, we're fleecing them.
Yeah, but it's not our money. But we're
Gaunty.
You know, let's give away other people's money. It's
Stop
great.
It.
Harvey Norman.
I'm putting the foot down.
Harvey Norman, quiet at home in every room of the house.
At home.
Yes. What did I say?
quiet at home.
No, I didn't. I said quiet at home. Quiet. They sound the same.
Quiet at home in every room of the house.
It's Alpha Bucks, guys.
101.3 CFM, trending now.
6:17, what's on the cards this morning, Ash?
Mate, call it putting your money where your mouth is. A simple campaign driven by the popularity of a humble pub dish is spiralling into groundswell of support of Australians. Farmers struggling through this ridiculous drought. It's called Parma for a Farmer.
I like it.
Yep. So well you can eat a chicken parmigiana, and registered pubs and clubs across the nation have pledged to donate $1 for everyone sold to the Buy a Bale campaign. So obviously it's aimed at helping Aussie farmers.
I wonder if there's any on the coast. Looking to some pubs and clubs on the coast.
Well, we have yet to actually announce what venues have signed up, because the Buy a Bale website crashed because so many people were trying to apply.
Well, we encourage the pubs and clubs to get on board. Get onto the Buy a Bale website, register for that, and let's do this Buy a Palmer for a Farmer.
Absolutely.
I like it, guys.
CFM, trending now.
A hungry child has died in the US after eating 180 times the lethal amount of methamphetamine, which he thought was breakfast cereal.
Mm.
This is absolutely appalling. An 8-year-old boy woke up and told his dad he wanted something to eat, and the man sent him into the kitchen after leaving a plate of meth out the night before. The child thought it was cereal, ate it, and then said to his dad an hour or so later, "I'm feeling sick." The dad called a friend over, and the friend was like, "Mate, you got to send this kid to hospital
I've
now."
I've never seen what meth looks like. Does it look like cereal? I mean, the kid's a kid. He's not going to really know.
It says meth can be crystal-like or brownish in colour and could be mistaken for cereal in low light.
Oh, mate.
Mate, I don't even know what meth looks like either.
Yeah.
But the friend said, "Nah, you got to take the kid to hospital." The bloke literally held a gun at the friend's head and said, "I'm not taking the child to hospital. I don't want to go back to prison again." And then the child died. What is wrong with these people?
Full-on story out of the States.
Poor child.
Today at CFM.
Get up with Gaunty and Ash Pollard, CFM.
Tell me about this really weird situation you've got going on here.
Yeah, let me try and get this story across. So I'm mates with a couple of guys. They're brothers. I'll give them a shout-out, Jack and Harrison. Harrison.
Oh, Harrison.
Harrison, yeah.
I thought you said Harrelson.
Harrelson, no. Harrison.
Jack and Harry.
Jack and Harry.
Morning, boys.
Yep, morning to the boys. Mm-hmm. And so Harry starts seeing this girl. She's from the UK, and she comes out to Australia kind of unannounced. Just kind of last minute said, "Hey, I'm coming. I'm going to be there."
And Harry's like, "Okay."
Yeah. He's like, "Yep, okay, sure. Come along." So she comes to Australia. Harry's kind of busy while she's here. Doesn't have all the time in the world just to kind of take 2 weeks off work, no worries.
What does he do for a quid?
He's a sales guy, so he drives around Sydney doing sales for a company and checks on stores and stuff like that.
Was he why are you coming over? Or was he happy?
I think he was quite happy.
He didn't take the time.
Well, he couldn't take the time because it was kind of all very last minute. So she just sort of said, "Hey, I've got some free time. I'm coming to Australia. Get ready. I'm coming."
What, is she like made of cash?
I don't know. I don't know the girl.
She's totes in love.
Well, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Quite possibly. Long distance is hard.
Sorry,
when you're talking.
What is possibly?
Possibly. Yeah, emphasise it.
Possibly. Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? Because he didn't have much time, his brother Jack messages me and goes, "Hey, mate, can you get me a couple of tickets to the reptile park?" And I said, "Oh, that's cute. You want to go to the reptile park, do you?" So I tried to look into a couple of tickets. It was all very last minute. Anyway, Jack gets a couple of tickets and I'm like, "Who are you going with?" He says, "This girl." His brothers, so Harry, this girl that's come over from the States, Jack has to take her to the reptile park. And I said, "Mate,
Harry said to Jack, mate, I'm busy. Yes. Can you take my missus to the reptile park?"
Yes.
What the hell?
"Can you take her to the reptile park?" I said, "Mate, that's a date. That's a date if I've ever heard of one."
Oh, that's cruel. You can't say that.
Is it not
Jack's
a date?
Jack's not cutting Harry's grass.
No,
let it
I'm
be
not.
Said.
I'm not saying Jack's doing that. Jack's definitely not doing that. But to put your brother in that position—is
that not full orcs though?
What do you mean? Oh, for Jack?
Yeah.
100%.
Oh,
just some girl. Like, imagine that.
Because that's semi-romantic.
The reptile park is romantic. Picture it. So put yourself in the shoes, right? So let's just say. Let's go with you and Pete, long-distance Pistol Pete boyfriend. Pete's busy for the day and he palms you off onto one of his brothers. You wouldn't mind that because you think Tom's quite hot.
Let's go. Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard. CFM.
Now, this is an interesting one. A runaway Amish girl, Emma Gingrich. She has brought out a book called The Runaway Amish Girl. And, in fact, I've read quite a bit about Emma online. She lived in a very, very strict, one of the strictest Amish communities in America, decided to run away when she was 18. In this particular community, they only, they're educated until eighth grade. They think the world is flat.
Which is just bizarre.
Bizarre.
Mm.
Anyway, we have Emma on the line. She joins us now.
Morning, Emma.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, Emma, and how are you?
Good.
So, Emma, tell us a little bit about yourself. You were previously Schwarzentruber Amish, and you've left that Amish community. In fact, you left many years ago now when you were 18 in 2006. Why? Why did you decide to leave?
I just did not fit in. I felt like a little alien, you know, like I didn't belong in the Amish culture and the rules didn't make sense to me. And I kept asking questions and then my family would make me feel guilty for asking questions.
And so how did you know what to compare the Amish lifestyle to? Did you get to see what everybody else was doing out in the Western world?
I didn't really get to see what all went out. What all went on in the Western world, but I was cleaning a house for a lady across the street that was not Amish.
Just give us a little bit about what life is actually like living as an Amish person. What kind of stuff did you have to do?
Well, from a very young age, I started by babysitting my younger siblings. I was around 8 or 9 years old when I started doing that. And then wash dishes, help my mom cook and clean, and then I would start making clothes for my siblings and make clothes for myself. Wow. And do chores, milk cows, feed chickens, feed the pigs.
This is all day, every day, is it? So no time for any kind of fun or anything. It's just all day, every day, just work, work, work.
Yeah, it's just work, work, every day. While we're in school, we do have some games that we play at school, but when we're at home, it's just work.
Sounds like a very arduous lifestyle.
Yeah, kind of. I'm glad I grew up like that because now I have great work values, you know, and I'm very independent as well. So I've come to appreciate my family a lot more after I left. And so I'm glad I grew up like that, even though it was difficult.
So even though you decided to leave the community and you still appreciate your family, when you go back, do they accept you?
Not really. It's always, they always bring up the past and they always tell me I should just come home and be the Amish lady that I was raised to be. And they make me feel like I'm just not part of the family anymore.
That must be very sad.
It is. It was the first 10 years after leaving, I try to make amends with them and have them see my side of the story and see that I am a good person even though I left.
See, that's enough.
So I would go back and visit, and it was just very stressful. I would break out in hives just having to go home and visit.
And that's enough for you to not even want to, but then at the same time, you're then forced to live without a family, which you don't really want to do either. So tell us, how did you get out of the Amish ways of life? How did you escape?
There was this one elderly couple that would come to the farm. They weren't Amish, but they would come to our farm to visit. They'd talk about horses with my dad and brothers. They were big horse people. So I somehow confessed to them one day that I wanted to leave. And they didn't want to help me, but they decided to give me a phone number and said, call that number if you ever do leave. So the day that I left, I called that phone number and I walked 4 miles to the closest town. I had told the person that I called to come pick me up at the little town. So when the time came, like it just happened all of a sudden, I woke up one morning and realized that today is the day that I'm going to leave, and I just walked out. I only had the clothes that I was wearing, and I had like $50 in cash money.
Oh my God, that's so nerve-wracking.
And I walked away.
And you've never met these people before that you were going to make a phone call to?
No, I had no idea who they were.
Oh my gosh.
So what happened when you met the people? What happened?
They took me to their house, and I stayed at their house for 2 weeks, and they helped me change into modern clothes and helped me kind of get started. And then from there, I went to Texas. But they lived in Missouri. That's where I was at.
Wow. It's so fascinating. Yeah. I could talk to you for such a long time, Emma. Good on you for, you know, taking the step. I mean, it's totally and utterly out of your comfort zone, and living in such a sheltered lifestyle would have been extremely daunting to then step out into modern life. What an accomplishment.
I know.
Have you thought about helping others in a similar situation to you, going back and helping other people who might be feeling the way you felt all those years ago?
Yeah, so I'm actually working on a foundation that will help others.
Well, it's amazing what can come of a bad situation, and you've really turned your life around, and it's a story of bravery, and we appreciate you giving us some time this morning and giving us a little insight into your life.
Thank you so much, Emma.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, Emma, when you found out the world wasn't flat, because you grew up thinking the world was flat, right, was your mind just like blown or what?
Yeah, I'm glad the world isn't flat so I don't fall off.
It's good news for all. Thanks, Emma.
Thank you.
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
You have an interest in buying a lotto ticket for tonight? $70 million.
Look, I know the saying, you've got to be in it to win it.
Yep.
But quite frankly, no.
I bought one last week when it was 50, and now it's jackpotted to 70.
How much? See, I don't understand how you play it. What do? You just buy a ticket and randomly choose numbers, or you got to choose the numbers?
You can do either or. So you can get, you never bought a lotto ticket, ever?
I have once, I have once.
You can do those ones where they kind of auto-pick for you. Which I do occasionally, but I just went into the news agency and I just started picking. You got to pick seven numbers, so I just picked random. Normally I pick my favourite, but my favourite numbers never come up. So I've started just picking numbers that I would never pick.
There's got to be some sort of
winning. Tactic?
Yeah, you've got to think like what a computer would think like.
Well, I know there's a few people around the world who talk about how they feel like they've cracked the lotto system or something like that.
Is that so?
Can I get you to pick seven numbers on my...
Oh, you're kidding me.
If I just give you this is my ticket, which I'm going to play today. And there's a box there. If you just
left open.
Yeah, if you just pick seven random numbers for me, it's only like...
You're going to entrust me with that?
Yeah, just see what I've done there.
Do you know, can I tell you, an ex-boyfriend of mine, right?
Yeah.
Literally bought one of these every single week. So how much is one of these?
Well, that one there, that's 16 games. That cost me $20.
Okay, so he'd buy one that's a little more expeno than that.
How much is he spending on trying to win the lotto?
Like, let's just say it's $30 for argument's sake.
Yeah.
So times that by 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah, 52 times 30. I'm going to need a calculator. I'll tell you how much your ex was spending on lotto tickets per year. All right, 32. So 52.
Times $30. Times let's just say. $30. I feel like he spent more on it, but, you know.
$1,560 a year on lotto tickets.
And
any wins?
No.
Any win? No wins.
I mean, maybe like $50 here and there to, you know, to buy the next one.
Yep.
But that's how much, like regularly he would go every Saturday and have a look and see what he'd, you know, what he'd
how
buy.
How he'd go and check in.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's my thing, right? I've just got, I know everyone says this, mate, but I've got this feeling that I'm going to win lotto one day. I've just got it. I've got this feeling in me.
Would you tell anyone?
Yeah, I'd tell everybody.
Would you?
I'd be so obnoxious.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't say a word?
No.
But people are going to know.
I don't want anyone coming up, like people trying to befriend me and get all like buddy-buddy.
Yeah.
Get lost. You're not getting any of my coin.
I feel like it'd be too hard to keep a secret if you won $70 million. How would you keep that under wraps?
Oh, mate.
Mate, well, it's because your money bag's Pollard and wouldn't even make a difference. You win 70 mil. It's like, oh, God, just add
chicken feed.
Add it with the rest.
Get up with Gordy and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
So we have Andy Lee on the show before 7:30 this morning from Hamish and Andy. Our producer G has worn her Cool Boys in the Front Band t-shirt.
And says it's a total coinky-dink.
Coincidence, mate, or because Andy's on the show very soon?
I kind of want to impress him just a little bit. Uh-huh. You remember
he's
me?
Not even
that
coming
chick
into
with the shirt?
Stews.
When did you get that shirt?
So when they did their Cool Boys and the Front Man private jet tour, I may have met Hamish and Andy.
They went to Newcastle, didn't they, in their private jet?
They did.
Did you
they
get on the private jet?
I got on the private jet, guys.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I'll have what she's having.
I'm just excited. I'm sorry.
What's a private jet like? Pollard, you know, because you fly it all the time, but what is a private jet like, Jet?
Private?
Well, it was private. Small, to be honest. Yeah. It was a lot smaller than expected.
Okay.
Very cosy. Yeah.
And did you give Andy one of those extra long hugs that get really awkward and, you know, they're just trying to get you off?
Yeah, and then you kiss him on the cheek and it gets weird.
Yeah. Mega fan Gia of Andy Lee. She'll be happy he's on the show very soon. Next, Dean's going to give us all the latest on Pink and why she had to cancel another show in Scoopla. That's next.
101.3 CFM.
Dean McCarthy, let's get stuck straight into it this morning, mate, because everyone is talking about Pink. A lot of people on the coast would have had tickets to her show, and she's had to pull out last minute again. What's going on with Pink?
Oh, here's what's happened. So she's suffering from gastric virus and also dehydration. She was admitted to Sydney Hospital on Sunday, then discharged, and then readmitted on early hours of the Monday morning, and then obviously then her Monday night performance was cancelled. Her show is so physical, you know, like it's such a physical show. She doesn't just stand there and sing or anything. She really gets into it and all the acrobatics and everything like that. And she actually tweeted, I think, 5 days before how she's like, does anyone have any good kind of like, you know, juice shops that she can go and visit? Any like wellness shots that I could be taking? It just all caught up with her. One of my really good friends, Kassan Brailsford, you should follow his Instagram. He's her main dancer. He's the African-American guy that he does all the acrobatic stunts with her. And they train so hard and they work so hard. So it's just all caught up with her. That's what the answer is. Yeah. It's pretty sad news for fans.
I feel like anyone who hasn't believed that she's been sick over the last few days, surely when someone spends a night in hospital, you're starting to think this is serious stuff.
I just don't think that she'd be faking it anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like she's come all the way out here with her family. Like she's brought her kids.
Yeah.
She's not here to just, you know, she's not taking the mic.
I saw
whether or not she goes to hospital or not, this chick's sick. You're not going to cancel a concert with thousands of people hanging in the wings.
It just goes to show those that went to the Saturday night show, they got lucky because that's right in the middle of the
tour. They were our listeners that won the...
Don't Blink for Pink.
Yeah.
Who we sent off. So hopefully Pink can recover and get back up on stage for those people. And I've heard that they're going to redo those shows that have been missed. So those people aren't going to miss out either. And I think when she comes back next time, Dean, I think she'll just do an acoustic show.
What?
Just forget all this acrobatic stuff. Like, it's too hard.
No. People just love it.
I know, but I'd go watch Pink Acoustic too, wouldn't you?
I know. No.
It'd still be a great show.
I'd see her eating.
Exactly.
Yep.
I see Justin.
If you could do a show underwater, I'd be into it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. She's got mega fans. Hey, Dean, from one superstar to another, Beyonce and her twins.
Fascinating. Yeah, fascinating. She's actually given a very, very candid and open interview, which is pretty rare for Beyonce. We never hear from her, really, these days. She has covered Vogue. It's spectacular. Go online, check out the photos. In the interview, she shared some very personal news about her pregnancy with Rumi and Sir. The last month of her pregnancy, she was bedridden for a month. It was an emergency C-section. It was very, very grueling and incredibly tolling on her physically and emotionally. She said she was bedridden. She couldn't really move much for many weeks afterwards. And she kind of shared in the interview how people don't really talk about how difficult and what a woman can really go through with a C-section like this. She's healthy now. The babies are healthy. She said it was months before she could start preparing for the Coachella phenomenal performance, which she pulled off this year. Mm. So you know what? It's all good news now that she's opened up, that she really went through it.
She's pretty guarded with the... She doesn't talk about the twins all that often.
I really like Beyonce.
You like Beyonce? Yeah. She's good value.
Yeah.
Hey, Dean, good to chat, man. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Thanks,
bye,
mate. Andy Lee's going to join us next. Ahead of True Story on Channel 9 tonight with Hamish and Andy. So, Andy, with us next.
Get up with Gaunty and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
It is back on tonight on Channel 9, 8:40. It is True Story with Hamish and Andy. And Andy joins us right now.
Ando.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Sensation. Hamish is totally, he's just not around because apparently he's vomiting. Is that right?
I wouldn't say vomiting. I think there's just been a few tummy rumbles since a fair bit of you know, flying back and forth.
Oh, so he's back ending.
Well, I don't know what's happening. What's happening there? I'm not a physician.
Just trying to get to the bottom of things.
Well, yeah. I mean, probably not important. Probably not important.
Well, we did wonder because he's back from New York and even Ash said, what, did he just come back just to promote the show? So that's dedication.
Well, he hasn't even gone to New York yet. I mean, the other thing is he's just going on a holiday. Everyone can just cool their jets.
Yeah.
Right. The Daily Mail or some of those great publications that are really factual have said that they're moving there. Where they're going for 2 weeks or something on a holiday. The same way as I moved to the Gold Coast the other week to watch Carlton play. But then I went home. But yes, yeah. Anyway, what's happening?
Oh, mate, we're just happy to have you on. So the show back on tonight. You got the pre-show nerves. What's the go?
Nah, because it's all done. I mean, and also it doesn't really rely on anything I'm doing. I mean, as hard as listening to great funny stories is, I think Hamish and I do an amazing job at it. The pressure was really on our storytellers, and there was over 8,000 story submissions for season two.
Oh.
So, and only 20 get sat in front of Hamish and I, so we knew the best of the best were there, and they didn't let us down.
I mean, it is very difficult to be a storyteller. As it is, but I actually remember watching one of your episodes on True Story season one about this house full of Kiwis and these two blokes in particular that would do dares.
Yes.
And it ended up...
It kept escalating. Yeah, that was not our most popular episode. My mum didn't like the content.
Foul.
My dad loved it. that one really divided people from where it went to, a bit of toilet humour. But strangely, I thought we'd... But the episodes this season, they are more shocking, but they are not. There's no more lewd stories. They're just actually quite incredible, the stories.
I just don't know in my life that I've done anything that would be worth an actual episode on your show.
Well, I mean, doesn't stop people sending the stories in. Someone actually wrote in, hey, guys, got a crazy story for you. I opened a packet of barbecue shapes and pizza shapes were inside the set. that's obviously a 90-minute ep and we need to make them half an hour. So we said, I'm sorry, mate, too long.
It's
too
funny.
Long.
We joke about that, but I'm kind of interested. How did they end up in that packet?
Well, I mean, there could be a backstory. Hey, we go, we actually trace it back. It feels like something more for Crime Investigation Australia rather than True Story.
Hey, a story I wanted to check with you, Ando. Mm-hmm. I was chatting to Sam Kavanagh, your, well, former radio producer, I guess. And
might be former friend after I hear he's told you.
No, it's not an incriminating story. It's actually a local story. Now, I couldn't work out if both you and Hamish were involved or maybe just you. maybe just Hamish, but he was saying that the Beery here on the Central Coast, you guys were thinking about having your last ever show here because it's, you know, Central Coast, central of Australia. You kind of wanted to go down that road. And and then I said, okay, well, what's the background? And he told me some story about you guys being there for New Year's and flip phones had just come out and you're all blown away. Does this story ring any bells for you?
No.
Okay. Oh. Maybe it was Hamish that was there, but he was telling me that they had a New Year's on the Central Coast out of nowhere, and
these guys were getting lit.
Yeah, and they had this massive night, and they'd barely even heard of this place, but they found themselves here on some road trip. So that might have been Sam and Hamish.
Haim and I did have a road trip that took us all the way to the top of Australia. Haim had an old car that he was trying to sell on the trading post, and he said as a selling point it could drive to the top of Australia. And I was at uni and I saw it with him, and I was like, no, it can't, mate. He goes, I bet it could. And I said, I bet it couldn't. And we both jumped in the car that day and just started driving, thinking that either of us would turn around and go, okay, this is silly. 3 hours in, we're ringing our girlfriends going, we're not coming home, ringing our parents because we still live with them, saying, hey, we're just on a little journey. But that did involve going all the way up the Central Coast and then all the way up to the top to see if we would make it. So it could have been on that wild adventure.
You know what I'll say to that, Andy? Mm. Thanks for saving my lame story.
That's a pleasure, mate.
That's true radio prowess right there.
You jumped in, you had my back, you pulled out the first ever story you could think of possibly going through the Central Coast on that trip.
Yeah, that's what happened. And that's the one you're talking about. It's a very good anecdote.
That
well
is
done.
What makes Andy the best at what he does in radio and their podcast. Mate, honestly, we look forward to this show again tonight and on straight after the block. If you ask me, you should be on before the block.
Mm, and during.
Just picture in picture.
8:40 tonight on Channel 9. Ando, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
mate.
Andy.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard. CFM.
Something brand new for you.
Get off the fence.
All right, get off the fence. Producer Jeter is here with some topics that we don't know.
Love some controversial topics.
Cool.
To ruffle some feathers.
Well, we're going to get your vibes on them. But all you get to say is yes or no, like a yay or a nay. And you only get like 3 seconds, is that right, to determine your answer?
So Gia will give us the topic and we have to decide yes or no based on what she says. Mm. After, just to give an example, you'll hear this.
3, 2, 1.
And then we go, boom.
Yes.
That's all you get.
And then if this fails, let it fail fantastically.
This might fail, mate. Don't worry. I'm a hard ass.
I've given you some kind of, nice fluffy ones today, some nice easy ones. Now, nothing too to controversial.
Oh, we'll ease into it.
Well, I know Gorney can't make a decision to save his life.
Yes, so I can.
Yeah, he's the fence sitter.
I decide to kick you two out of the studio right now. Decision made.
Tough words, Gorney.
All right, what's the first one?
All right, well, obviously, Russell Coit's All Aussie Adventures has made a return to the TV screens after 15 years off. There's been a lot of reboots of old TV shows. We saw Queer Eye, Roseanne, Rugrats even getting a run back again. Mm. So I just wanted to get your vibes on old TV shows coming back.
On a reboot.
3, 2, 1.
No.
Yes.
Ooh.
Leave them be.
Nah.
When they're that great, just let them go.
I think Russell Coit is hilarious.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Did you watch the other night when it was back on?
No. I just watched a promo for it.
Right, that's all you need.
Where he kicked someone in the face. Yeah,
that was good. Yeah.
He's a little bit older now and it's like...
Do you know what I liked? The reboot? I loved the reboot of Will and Grace. Oh, my God. I was in hysterics on the aeroplane. People thought I was dying.
See, I can't think of any reboots I've liked.
Yeah.
Not one reboot I've liked.
I struggle. Like, I do think Will and Grace, I saw a couple of episodes of that. It was still good, but was it better than the old stuff?
No.
They have just let sleeping dogs lie.
This is why Friends are smart. The show Friends and Seinfeld, they let it be. No need.
Let it be.
Get out on a high.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
This show is, if you're just tuning into the Gaundy and Ash show, it's a 20% musical.
Ash is hijacking
Ash.
For her talents.
All right, next one.
Waterbeds. They're making a comeback.
I can already tell you.
Waterbeds?
3, 2, 1.
No.
Yes.
Foul.
Love it.
Waterbeds are absolutely foul.
No,
my
not.
Older sister used to have one And I was like, oh, that is so bogan.
I love it.
Get away.
It's pimp daddy as you get.
Well, apparently heaps of landlords started banning them because obviously, like, they pop, they ruin your thing. But they have a brand new version called the A-Float coming soon.
Have you ever slept on a waterbed?
Seasick.
Back in the day when I was very young.
It sounds cool, but it's the most uncomfortable
so
thing.
So why would you say yes to it then?
I don't know. I like the kind of...
If you're sleeping with your partner moves... Boom! Like you're flinging up into the air.
Bounced off the beds.
Can I say, if you've got a waterbed, though, please call the show. I don't reckon anyone on the coast has a waterbed. 13, 12, 16, please call the
show.
You're
reverse psychologying people.
You know I reverse psychology people. Yeah. That's what I do. Don't give us the next topic. Reverse psychology. Give us the next topic. What is it? Yeah.
Sydney's Young Henry's Brewery have released a brand new beer called the Captain Barnacle that was brewed with 40 whole oysters. What are your vibes on flavoured beers?
Flavoured beers. 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Hurry up.
3 seconds.
Yes, but no to the oyster beer.
See, that's a called a fence sitter.
No, it's not. No, she made it generic.
No, you're fence sitter.
She made
yes
it generic.
Yes or no, dingy? Come on.
Yes to flavoured beers.
Right.
But no to oysters.
No to the... What's the oyster beer? That's disgusting.
It's a syrupy, salty beer that they've made to celebrate the annual Oyster Festival, which is running for the month of August.
I would say it wouldn't taste necessarily like an oyster, but it would pair well with one.
I would try it for sure.
Like, it's
that's
not just
going to
be a mouthful of oyster water. It's beer with a hint of oyster.
Can you get a couple of those, please, Jer?
I reckon I should suss it.
Let's get some oyster beer up in here. No calls on the waterbeds? 13, 12, 16. Maybe no one does have a waterbed on the coast. Does anyone still sell waterbeds? Can you buy them anywhere? I don't know. I want to know.
Well, these new ones are only available in the US at the moment.
And they can stay there, quite frankly.
Nice work. Thanks, Gia. We'll do that again soon. Get off the fence. Did you like it, Pollard?
I liked it. I want more controversy, though.
Okay, you want to ramp it up on the next one?
Let's go a bit political.
Ooh, I like.
You know, I want to ruffle some feathers.
Okay.
Okay, notes taken on board.
I want the calls to be lighting up for people to be like, Gaunty, you're on the wrong side of the fence.
All right, we'll get full...
Or Ash, your opinion's poxy.
We'll get full AM-style radio on your next...
Let's go. Get up with Gaunty and Ash Pollard, CFM.
If you'd like to start calling through for Alpha Bucks, you can. 13, 12, 16. We're going to play very soon. And after 8 o'clock this morning, we're also reliving some memories from the world-famous rooftop... In Vegas, Carrie and Tommy and the Backstreet Boys.
I don't care who you are, where you're from, don't care what you did, as long as you love me.
Would have been great to see live. You had a chance to win
where
that.
You're from,
if you were a CVIP. And Rach from Woongarra right here on the coast.
Rachie!
Went along to the show. Hello, Rach.
Morning, guys.
Oh, you've dragged yourself out of bed with the jet lag and everything. How are you feeling?
Oh, jet lag has got me so hectic right now, but I am actually sitting at work, so...
Well, Dale, in hindsight, it's like a first world problem, is it not? Because you just experienced some awesome stuff.
Oh, it was so insane. Like, I was just talking to Gia about it. I'm still so speechless about it that we even got to go, and the performance was just phenomenal. Like, just how close we were. They all came past, gave like high fives, and
have you washed your hand?
Next to me, Nick came over and was like holding her hand and serenading her. Yeah, like, crazy. It was so cool.
That's like stuff you think of back when you were in high school, and were you a massive Backstreet Boys fan?
Oh, I kind of. Not really in high school, more primary school I was.
Okay.
But seriously, being there, it makes me love them like so much more. Like, I'm so intense right now.
Yeah, it was an intimate gig. They were all like getting around hugging all the people that had won with the world famous rooftop and just singing directly to them. It's money can't buy stuff. And back to reality for you, Rach. So 1 minute you're in Vegas with the Backstreet Boys, next thing you're back at work.
I know. It was really, really sad. Coming home last night and being like, oh, wow, I have to go to work tomorrow. This kind of sucks a little bit.
Well, congratulations. It shows that it pays to be a CVIP because you got the free trip to Vegas to hang out with them all. Mm. Did you look around at any point and just think one thing's missing? Where's my friends Gaunty and Ash Pollard? Why are they here? Did you think that?
Hey, I actually spoke to Dean McCarthy about it. Me and him had a good chat about you guys and how I listen to you every morning. And he was just like, they are seriously sad. But I was like, I really wish that they could have joined us.
Oh, right. That's so nice.
I'm just going to say, you know, like, I'm a bit of a fan of you guys. So it would be nice to meet you too.
Did you say that to Carrie and Tommy as well, or just Dean?
No, just Dean.
Just Dean.
I didn't really get a chance to see Carrie and Tommy, but I did get a quick photo, which was cool.
So. Nice.
All right, well, we're going to relive some memories, so keep on CFM after 8 o'clock. We've got a 15-minute special from Vegas, so you can kick back at work and just relive it because you were there.
I was there, and I keep replaying the video too. They've put the video up on like the HIIT website. It's really cool to keep watching, although my dance moves really aren't that great.
Her dance moves in the video.
Oh, I thought your dentures.
Which one are you in the video? What were you wearing? Just for anyone listening, if they want to point you out.
So I was just in a black dress with white flowers on it. I was kind of on the side, not really in the middle. You probably only see me like maybe once or twice.
All right. We'll just look out for the worst dance moves in the video, and that's who we're dealing with. Hey, Rach, thanks for registering and a great prize you won, and thanks for listening to the show.
Thanks, Rach.
Thanks to you guys. I really appreciate it.
Harvey Norman, quiet at home in every room of the house. CFM.
All right, let's get stuck into Alpha Bucks. I vote that we start doing some more clues again, by the way, because we need to help people get closer to winning this cash. So let's have a chat about that and see if we can get some clues cranking to help some people out. Brendo at Wyon.
Hey, buddy.
Good man, how are you?
How are you?
Good man, welcome to the show. Would you like some clues for Alpha Bucks?
I certainly would like some clues.
Okay, well, your letter is H.
Yep.
For Hail.
H for Hail.
Okay.
Fourth answer is hairspray. All right, let's play. 30 seconds on the clock. I want people to win. 30 seconds. Don't use the same answer twice. Pollard's got your questions. Good luck, Brendo.
Question number one, Brendan. Name something with four legs. A type of food.
Oh.
Something you can walk down. Something in your bathroom cabinet.
Hairspray.
A part of a car. A body part. A game that kids play.
Pigeon tails.
A type of extreme weather.
Tails.
He got that in before the buzzer. Sounds like two people are playing the game there.
Yeah,
you got someone helping you there?
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, we got me and my mate Jackie's playing today.
Okay. It slows down the process a little bit for anyone else thinking of going the double. You've got hair, hairspray, 10, 20, 30. No, 10, 20, 30, 40, $50 for Alpha Bucks this morning. Do you have to split that? Do you have to split that with your mate, 25 each?
25 it is.
Stitch up. You should have played yourself. you passed on a couple there. Which
it actually does waste time having somebody else yell the answer and then you repeat it.
And he had to repeat the answer to get the answer. So,
but even still, I don't even think that's appropriate. Like, is that even a part of the rules?
T's and C's, are they allowed to play with two people, Gia? I don't know if that's it's more.
I don't think that they are. Yeah. I did mention to Brendan when I was talking to him, I was like, only you can play. Mate, only you can play, but he obviously thought Jack was better at it than he was.
I think it's more of a disadvantage of anything, to be honest. But anyway, $50. Harvey Norman, quiet at home in every room of the house.
I'm cracking down on this thing.
You are, aren't you?
I am.
You are. All over the rules.
Well, if you play by the rules, you have a better chance of winning.
Yes.
Right?
But sometimes the rules are meant to be broken.
No, not in this instance.
They are in life.
Get up with Gordy and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
Still got a big half an hour of the show to go. Next on the show, we've got Haydos and Sarah from The Block representing New South Wales. Firecracker Sarah, you may have seen.
She is a firecracker.
She is a firecracker.
Don't know whether to love or hate. She's going to say it.
She's a little bit you.
I'm fencing on this one.
She's a little bit Ash Pollard.
She is not.
She's a little bit Pollard.
No, because I'm not a straight up B.I.T.
I don't think she is either.
You wait.
Have you not seen
the promos for tonight?
For episode three?
Sick.
Oh, really? Mm. Okay. Well, The Block is back on tonight, Channel 9, 7:30.
She likes to rip Haydos a new one every now and again.
Oh, yeah. And if we get time today, I mean, I don't know how we didn't dedicate the whole show to it this morning, but Ash is missing bread. The case of...
Someone stole my loaf of bread from my office. You've got to walk in to my office to get the bread, and it is bakery bread. It's not this stuff that you get from the supermarket. It's proper, lovely sourdough.
And you took to the people of this workplace a current affair style yesterday.
Yep.
With a camera, a microphone and a light all up in their grill to find out who stole this mystery bread.
I was investigating.
I think Yamo, for real.
Well, he's not here.
No, he was here on Friday when it went missing, though.
I'm checking the cameras.
More on that soon.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
We are hooked on the block this season. They're redoing Hooked. The Gatwick in Melbourne, which is...
Yeah, I think we're so hooked because we have a connection to this particular establishment that they're doing up.
Yeah,
the old Gatwick.
Yep.
It's notorious in Melbourne for being literally a drug den and housing, ex-cons, lots of people that are criminals.
We spoke
and
to Scotty Cam about it on the show last week, and it's a building for years. When I was living there, I was saying they need to do something with that. Something needs to happen with that building, and it's happening right now on the block. And if you've been watching the show, you'll know New South Wales' newly married couple, Hayden and Sarah. Sarah, the firecracker, they join us right now. Morning, guys.
Good morning. Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Ooh, we're sensation, you guys. I'm hooked on the block. Girl, you have got some sass about you. What have you got to say for yourself?
Oh, look, they just told us to go in there and be confident, and that's who we were on the show. We were confident. Obviously, you get a few blows to your back.
Obviously, you get a few blows to your confidence.
Yeah, you get a few blows to your confidence, but then you just pick yourself right up.
Well, you're talking about the other teams there, but we're a couple of episodes into the block now, and Ash and I have been watching, and you guys have some blow-ups too. And I'm thinking, are these two even going to get through this season of the block?
Oh, look, I can definitely give you a spoiler alert. We're still together. Oh,
well done. Congratulations. You're not putting it on for the radio. You're still together.
No. Look, that's just our dynamic. We're, we do argue a bit, probably a bit more than any other married couple, but in the end, we just have a laugh about it. We've got no time to kind of hold a grudge. So I think that's what you'll see with us, and that's why they call us the firecrackers, is because once we explode, then you get the excitement at the end.
You were saying in one of the eps that you were quite surprised that during the actual competition that you didn't argue as much as you actually do in real life.
Nah, that was a lie for sure.
I think as the season gets on, you'll see that there are quite a few blow-ups. On the promo, he called me a cow. So, there are a few things in there. He did tell me that he was going to divorce me as well.
Hayden!
Oh, my God. She was being a punish a lot. The reality was she was being very hard worked.
Hayden, I feel like you're getting death stared as we speak. That's a yes.
Yeah.
That's a yes. Hey, guys, we are fascinated with the Gatwick Hotel. I used to live in Melbourne, literally a street away from the Gatwick, and I spoke to Scotty Cam about this, and I said, mate, I wouldn't even walk past that building. It was that kind of scary, and you had to go straight in and start sleeping in these rooms. Watching you guys go through that, was it scary stuff?
What was it like the first night?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to lie, it did smell like cat piss.
Oh.
it wasn't the best thing, but, I'm from Melbourne as well, and I remember what St Kilda used to be like 10 years ago, and it was such a beautiful place, and then I come back 10 years later, and it's just so dire. It was actually kind of confronting, in a sense, I'm just glad that we were part of the whole process that gets to breathe life back into St Kilda, really.
Hayden, I'm just wondering, you haven't really said much throughout this interview. Is that going to be sort of like a recurring theme throughout the block? Just Sarah's going to bulldoze you every time? Is that what's Is that what's going to be?
Yep. she definitely is a bulldozer, but I think hopefully there'll be some edits where I do stick up for myself and I do look like I've got a spine.
I've got a soft spot for you, Hayden. I'm a bit like Sarah, although my boyfriend is like Sarah as well. So me and my boyfriend are always butting heads. He needs a bit more of you in him, Hayden, where you can just sort of pick your battles, you know how to quash the argument, make her happy.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best. You know, it's not easy, though.
I wish there was a camera in the room when you guys locked yourself in there.
How funny was that?
So and good.
How's my building knowledge? Just get a hammer and hammer it.
Yes! Oh, my God. Well, Ash
has been constantly saying that she could go on the block, and I say, Ash, you couldn't because you and Pete would just argue all the time. But when you finally get on the block, is it harder than it looks? You know what I mean? Because it's easy to sit on the couch and watch this show, but it must be tough.
Yeah, I will speak. It is so much harder than it looks. I'm in construction, and it was really, really, really hard for me, you know. Plus me having to deal with Sarah and her emotions all the time.
You've got it all working against you, Haydos. Credit to you, mate.
Yeah, that's tough.
No, look, you guys are doing an amazing job, two episodes in, and we know that people in New South Wales will get behind you guys, and hopefully you can take out this season of The Block. We're backing you all the way, guys.
Looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, thanks, New South Wales. You guys have got to get behind us. Come on, we can do it. Come on, the Blues.
Yeah, go the Blues. Good on you, Hayden. Thanks, Sarah. All the best.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Get up with Gaunty and Ash Pollard. CFM.
There is an actual bread gate.
There's a bread gate.
An actual bread gate.
There's some sort of loaf hashtag started on social media as well. Have you seen that? I'll get that for you. There's a hashtag.
Oh.
Called hashtag find the loaf or something like that. Someone started. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, look, someone in the workplace has nicked my loaf of bread, a loaf of bread that, costs me like $8 or whatever because I buy it from a bakery.
I don't buy
it from the supermarket because, I respect my stomach enough to feed it nice stuff, right?
Once you've had good bread, it's hard to go back to just poxy bread.
Yeah, so I don't eat poxy bread. I eat nice bakery bread, sourdough. And I left it on my desk in my office. You got to walk in there over the weekend. So it was still a half loaf of bread. And someone has gone in there and nicked it. Or someone's just chucked it in the bin because they're like, oh, Pollard's left a loaf of bread here over the weekend.
It's disgusting office behaviour is what it is.
Quite frankly, it is. It's low.
Yep.
It's low. And the fact that no one is owning up to it, it's just like they should be embarrassed. Like, why would you steal some flour and water and not own up to it? Cooked flour and water.
When you're hungry and you just see that golden loaf, it's too tempting not to steal. Back in the day, they would have chopped your fingers off for stealing a loaf of bread.
Do you know what? Our newsreader, Sarah Ileano,
with the latest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Said that they're practically convicts.
They are. And if any police are listening, I know they love this show, make your way to the radio station and help us with this investigation.
I need to uncover who this thief is. I will be going, just for the sake of it now, I just want to embarrass the person. I will call them out on radio.
You're doing it
once I check the security camera.
I think you definitely should do that. And you're doing it for anyone that works in an office and has had their food stolen. You're doing it for these people.
Yes, like some chick last week, Sarah Schofield.
Yes.
Had her margarine stolen from the fridge.
Devastating stuff.
I'm doing it for the people. Yeah. There is a thief in this office and they will be uncovered.
Let's play this audio real quick because you went around the office with a camera, a light and a
microphone.
I went
around with a film crew.
Yes.
Right?
A current affair style. Yes. And this was you hitting people up in the sales department.
I keep a fresh loaf of bread here. Someone has stolen it and no one will fess up. I sent an all-office email, so why don't we go and ask some people to their face? Do you steal my bread?
It's like a current affair.
Yes.
You've got the camera crew and everything. I swear I've not touched your bread.
Are you stitching me up? Do you swear on Jamie's life?
I swear on Jamie's life, I have not touched your bread.
Hello, Renee. Did you know that there's a loaf of bread missing?
I did know that.
Did you steal it?
I did not.
Right. Richard.
Good morning.
Hi.
Where's the bread?
No idea where the bread is.
Matthew said that you were the thief.
Oh, Matthew would say that.
I'm on to you guys. Loopy Lass.
Yes.
There's a bread thief, a bread gate.
Now, what type of bread was it?
It's actually bakery bread. That's why somebody would have stolen it.
You know what? I saw a nice loaf of bread on Kim's desk recently. On Friday? Is this Friday that you had the bread?
Yes.
Kim, I did not steal the bread.
When was it stolen?
Friday. It was my birthday on Friday and I was away all weekend.
I just want my bread! Where's the bread? Who's taken... What's on here?
I know it looks bad. I know it looks bad, but it's not Sonoma. It's just cheap. Whatever the other stuff is on the table. It looks bad, I know.
I don't trust anybody here.
No, you can trust us.
Oh, never has more airtime been dedicated to a loaf of bread.
Oh, my God. Like, it makes me so angry.
Well, to be continued, we will end every single show on
your
this.
Your life will end if it is you that stitched me up.
Mate, I'm with you in this investigation. I'm telling you right
if
now, did you steal your poxy bread?
It's not my poxy bread.
It's poxy bread.
It's, what the heck?
It's a loaf of bread,
it's
mate.
Sourdough.
Get over it, buy a new loaf. Next case. Next.
All right, Judge Judy.
Judge
You're
Gordy.
A rude piece of work.
No, look, I will help you track this down. I think it's Boss Yammo guilty, and we will end every show on this until we find the culprit.
The bread.
Oh, the bread's gone. Depart with the bread.
Okay, it's we done. Just need to find the culprit then.
All right, we'll find the culprit.
Cool. Well, meantime, that's our Tuesday done, is it not?
Not the way I thought we were going to end the show.
No, we've ended on opening a case.
I like it.
It is a... hot case, a warm case. It's not a cold case.
I see what you've done there because bread is hot.
It's like a working case.
Oh, I get you. Hashtag Loaf Justice is the one that was started online yesterday.
Loaf
so.
Justice.
We will catch you for a hump
Someone day. Someone suggested I should waterboarding people
okay,
in the office.
It's getting extreme now. It's just a loaf of bread, guys.
waterboarding starts tomorrow. Get ready.
You've got your favourite day of the week happening.
Hump day.
Love it. You're mad for it.
Cool.
We'll do it tomorrow. Have a great one.
Tune in for the waterboarding. See ya.
Get up with Gordy and Ash Pollard. CFM.